He's like, oh, it looks like they used AI for that, that graphic, but actually, like, they didn't because it's spelled.
The Leering Center.
Use AI and we wouldn't have this problem.
Do we have anything promo going on that you want to make sure that we hit today?
Refer a Friend's coming back.
Okay.
Oh, on the 6th, I think. Yeah, that's
the
6th
of January.
Mm-hmm.
And give us the rundown on it.
So every friend you refer, you get 75, they get 75. What?
Brady was just giving me the eye. Was that a good transition?
You wanted him just like to go roll with it and make it live, like we're on the podcast.
Oh yeah, we're live. I mean, I figured now's as good a time as any to hit promo.
Good job, Lane.
We got Lane.
You nailed it.
It's you get 75, they get 75. So if I say, hey Brady, you should sign up. Here's my email address. You pop that in, you get 75. I get 75. The fourth person you bring and you say, I've had such a great experience, we square you off at $1,000.
$1,000 outright.
So it's like your next one. So you get three and they're each 75 and the fourth one's worth like, check my math, but $775.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then you turn around whenever you're ready. You got $1,000 to spend on gear.
So it starts the 6th.
Yeah, it's the 6th through, I believe, the 25th.
And this is going to drop New Year's Day. So you've got, if you got some friends that have been on the fence, you really want to lean in heavy on them.
Text them.
Start warming the water, right?
Exactly.
Start leaning in to them. Hey, you need an insider account.
Yep.
$1,000 would be pretty great in the gear shop.
What would you get at this point in the year?
Oh, mercy. Well, I just bought a dozen arrows last week and built those, so that would have been good. God, what would I need? I don't know. It's early to start thinking about gear. But I would definitely need, like, as I move into April, May, it seems like I really start ramping up and thinking, like, oh, I need, it's always arrows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always ruining arrows. I don't know why. You'd think I was a better shot than I am, but I'm always clanking arrows.
Well, you're shooting a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't, you know what it is? Is I go to my local range and they've got the 3Ds, you know? And then they've got the big regular block, like the big block targets, right? You can't miss one of those. Like, you can shoot out to 120 and you can hit that somewhere, right? But then they got 3D animals and you're like, oh, let me stretch this out at 120 on that rabbit or whatever it is, just to see if I can do it. They've got this dinosaur that sits up on the hill. It's like a T-Rex or a Velociraptor or whatever. And you can shoot from up on the hill out to like 106 or something like that. And it sits in the shade. So it's kind of dark. It's missing its tail. It's a whole thing. Anyway, so you just can't not, when you get to that last target, you can't help but climb out to 106 and shoot off the hill at the dinosaur in the shade. And then inevitably, You're going to crunch one. It just is happening. So always arrows. That's what I buy.
It's like a bet on yourself move there. Like 106, yeah. No problem.
I might just buy like, I don't know, 5 or 6 dozen arrows.
There you go.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the amount of time it would take to fletch all those?
Ugh. Well, it took me Christmas Day. So I didn't, everybody else got up and got Christmas over with and done. And then before we had the in-laws over for dinner, I sat down and did some prep work. And then that evening, I just finished her out. So
there you go.
I got a dozen built over Christmas break, which is good.
Brand new dozen.
Yeah. And it does take time. It takes me a full day at least. Yeah. At least. What other promo? We have podcast promo. Can you use the promo code podcast? You can't. You just have to use your email, right? When you sign up your buddy.
For referral?
Yeah.
Use your own email address. That way you get, we know who you sent and who sent those people.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty easy. A lot of people last year said like, this is cool. I'm glad. Like I've been telling people forever and now I get a little kickback.
Bonus. It's nice to have a bonus after Christmas too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A post Christmas bonus. Get some cash back in your pocket to spend on yourself.
A little Christmas bonus.
Treat yourself. Yeah.
Is it better before or after?
I think it's better after.
Yeah. Cause if you get it before, you're immediately just like, oh, what else can I buy?
Yeah, exactly.
For Christmas, right? You get it after. It's like, oh, I can hold on to that. Christmas is over and done with.
And it's just for you.
Yeah.
You get it after Christmas. You have to tell anybody. I'm just spending this on myself now. Yeah.
That is your Christmas present. Yeah.
Do you even have four friends?
No.
That you could ask?
No.
You start making friends in the next couple weeks.
No, I mean, I got three brothers and that's about it. My sister's not real excited about signing up, but.
Almost there.
So given the fact this is going to be New Year's when this comes out, I thought there was some interest. We talked internally about what we could do for podcasts and there was some interest in New Year's resolutions. New year, new me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess before we even get going, I'm curious as to like your guys' thoughts on New Year's resolutions as a whole. Quirky, dumb, cool.
Like just the concept?
Yeah, the concept.
I think it's healthy for people to just stop at some point and be like, how are things going for me?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I really want? And it's, I don't think like the New Year's, or there's a lot of people that say like, if you wait, then you're kind of in it for the wrong reasons. If you mm-hmm. wait till a Monday to start working out, or New Year's to start. But I do think the concept of just like taking a stop in and taking a look at what's going on is really a healthy thing for people to do.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for some. Other people, it's really like, just keep doing your normal daily habits. If you're, I don't know, strong mind and body, and you continue to do things all the time, it's probably, you don't want to do the typical like, oh, I'm going to do X and like actually go to the gym. But if you always go to the gym, it's like, that's becomes a lifestyle.
Have
like,
you made resolutions in the past? You haven't?
Not really.
Not really?
No, we did that one year. Yeah, drank a gallon of water and I actually pulled through with that. Now I drink water still.
I was just talking to Porter about drinking water, and I was trying to determine what the cutoff time is, because if I drink too much water, I got to pee all night long. So like last night, like I was up three times. And I was like, this is so annoying. This is not worth drinking the water.
No.
What I think that was always funny about New Year's resolutions and like this whole Christmas, New Year time frame, people always start like freaking out like, oh, I can't eat Christmas cookies. I can't do this and that. Like the week of Christmas to New Year's, they're like, oh, I'm just going to fall off the edge this week. But it's like, it's way more important the January 1st through next year to be clean and do something really, really good. I think people just need to realize like it's more beneficial to be healthy for 11 months out of the year, if they can do that, than like freak out about this little like 2 week period. Like, hey, you can splurge a little bit if you are that person. But like, if you're healthy all year and you splurge for a week, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but there is something about, and I'm like a bit of a contrarian, if you will. So I have been in the past, but I'm like, oh, I'll set some goals, but I didn't really take them that serious. Didn't really care, like resolutions. Mm-hmm. And there was almost part of me, it was like, man, if you set resolutions, it's kind of lame. Like, just because everybody did it. Everybody did it. And it's such a big thing. And you see everybody like posting, you know, they're going to the gym or they're drinking a gallon of water a day or whatever it is. And I was always kind of like, it's kind of hokey, but I felt like, I don't know, this year I'm taking it entirely different. Like, I'm taking it much more seriously.
It seems like a lot of resolutions are always based on like self-discipline. Don't you think? It's like health or
mm-hmm. relationships,
like relationships or hobbies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's never like making the best part of your life better or doing like the thing that absolutely fulfills you. It's always like, I'm going to address this weakness of mine, which is kind of like ironic in itself, that starting on this day, not the day before, but on this day, I'm going to be way more disciplined on January 1st.
Yeah. I was really curious about this because I didn't have the best, admittedly, like I did not have the best 2025. Like, I'm not going to look back at 2025, like super fondly and be like, man, I absolutely just kicked ass that year. Like, I don't feel that way. I honestly felt like I need a reset. I need things to like improve and be better. We were talking internally and I was just like, I'm like heavier than I've been in probably 20 years. You know what I mean? So like, I put on some pounds over the years. I just ate whatever I wanted. I didn't exercise nearly as regularly. And mostly I just have not felt as good as I would like to. Mm-hmm. And so this year for me, like resolutions, I'm like, okay, I want to actually set some and stick to it. And I think I need to get it to a point to where it's not a resolution. Like, it's not this, like, I need mm-hmm. to get it into a lifestyle, which I dug into a bunch of the psychology, but for the podcast. But I was curious as to like, I want to ask your opinion. What is it about a date? Because like, I couldn't have done this November 12th and been like, today's the day. Because it's just a random ass day in the middle of the year, right?
Yeah.
Or July 1st or whatever it might be. Like, I, for some reason, there's like a flip that has to switch in my brain. It's like a hard flip that has to happen. And for some reason, January 1st just seems like a good, and I've started early this year, so you should know I'm like 5 days in at least. But what, I mean, are you that way? Do you have dates that it's just like something about it?
It's like a day of the week too. Like, I'm totally guilty of like the Monday thing, or I'm going to start meal prepping on Sunday so I can eat healthy. Like, there's no reason I couldn't do that on a Thursday evening, but I am that way. And I don't know what it is, but it is kind of fascinating. And like, I have a friend who works in for a fitness company, let's say, and he's like, yeah, Sunday night and Monday morning, like, people go gangbusters for like new signups and things like that, because mm-hmm. it's like Monday, I'm getting in shape starting Monday.
Yeah.
And so it's not just us. It's, I think it's everyone to a certain extent, except for Brady, as we're about to find out.
I don't know. I just want to know how you're going to keep yourself accountable. I think that's the more important thing of this whole entire discussion.
Well, I did a bunch of reading. I've done a bunch of research for the podcast, and it's actually really helping.
Okay.
And a lot of it's just the way I frame it, like the way you frame it. For some reason, it's like, and I don't know why this is. There's like sometimes you can read something or you can hear somebody tell me something or I can see it. And it's just like doesn't register at all. But there has to be something internally that like you're willing to receive it at the right time to mm-hmm. internalize it and then make it meaningful mm-hmm. to me. And so I've been doing a bunch of reading and like, yeah, and we'll get into it. But like,
I mean, that's why I think a lot of people post it to a social media thing right now.
Well, I'm not going to do that. So don't
because that's why people do it though. You said earlier, like you see people posting the gym stuff all the time coming January 1st in that first mm-hmm. month and then people quit. But like, they need that to hold themselves accountable. They need other people then to, like, do you want me to start calling you a fat F all the time so you can like get motivated? Like publicly have to like constantly.
That wouldn't motivate me. It would actually do the opposite.
To yell at you
every
day?
That would do the opposite for me.
Really?
Oh yeah. I'd be like, really? I'm a fat ass. Watch this. Let's see how fat I can actually get.
I'm like, you're never gonna.
Do you know what's interesting about this? So this brings up somebody that I've been thinking about a lot lately. So Cody Nelson, right, that works here.
Yeah.
That guy's been working out consistently, and he posts day of, right? Mm-hmm. So like 85 of 91, or on down the line, right?
I'm mm-hmm. so proud of him every day. I see that.
As am I. And actually, I've gotten to the point. So if you're listening to this, Cody, shout out to you. I've gotten to a point where I look forward to it.
You're invested in it.
I look at his story. Just to see a selfie of him.
Yeah, his smiling face.
Smiling face.
He's the happiest guy ever.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just like a picture of the street, and he includes the number of steps or the distance that he went, and the day of, right? So like 85, 90. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten to a point where I'm like, yeah, I love that for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And as you're probably going to get into in a little bit, he seems like he's past the, like, you know, in this thing you prepared, Trail, you talk about discipline and motivation mm-hmm. and all these different like psychological things. He's just straight discipline mode. Mm-hmm. Wakes up, I'm going on this. I'm going to do this. It's not like I need to listen to some like metal music to get pumped up for it. It's like, this is just part of life now. Mm-hmm. I guarantee he would
metal
say
music
that.
Would help though, I'm sure.
It would. It helps everything. But it's just, yeah, it's cool. And like he's in the thick of it, which is cool to like watch and be a part of.
Yeah. I did a little digging because I thought it'd be interesting into just like the history of New Year's resolutions. Huh. So I did a little reading. So Babylonians circa 2000 BCE, which I don't even know what BCE is. Do you know? Do you? Mm-mm. The only one I'm familiar with is BFE, which I don't think is the same. But so BCE, it says it's credited with the first New Year's resolution. It says during Akitu, a 12-day festival in March, people promised the gods that they'd repay debts and return borrowed items. They weren't self-improvement goals. They were saying to the gods, they were like trying to be on the gods' good side, right? And then it was interesting further on down, I read through it, said it started as accountability, not motivation, mm-hmm. which is a big thing. So you already brought up accountability. I think that's another big part of it. But how do you do it? I mean, you post your runs every day, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you do that just to stay accountable?
Is that why I do it? For other people.
Really?
Yeah. So funny thing, you brought that up. So my dad, obviously I was running when I was in Minnesota last week.
That.
And my dad's like,
dude,
what?
When you landed, you ran.
Yeah.
So you got back to Vegas yesterday.
And I ran again. Yeah.
And you went for a run.
Yeah. And I posted this one. So I don't try to post all of mine, but I try to post a lot. My dad's like, why do you keep posting it? Like, some of my friends even said, why do you keep posting those runs all the time? And I'm like, it's not for me. It's literally for other people. He's like, I'm like, Dad, no one probably realizes the amount of DMs that I get. And every now and then it's a DM that like, everything I do is worth it. Mm-hmm. Dude's like, hey, because you do this all the time, I started getting better, started working out a little bit more, and I'm in the best shape of my life. I had a really horrible life experience, and like some guys even said, like they were close to like, you know, doing that thing that you don't want to talk about it with anyone, like give up on everything. He's like, I got motivated to get better because of what you were posting all the time, because like it seems like it's working for you and you seem happy all the time. It's like, I just do it for other people to like, hey, I just do this thing every single day. I work hard. I try to get a sweaty hat. because then it just makes my life happier and better. I remember, and you don't have to do anything I do, but here's a little motivation if you need it.
Yeah. I remember, do you remember Total Archery Challenge? Mm-hmm. When the guy at the bow tech booth, Elliot, across from us, like that night, he was like, "Hey, I'm going for a run tonight. You want to go?" And the reason he brought it up to Brady's because he knows Brady's always posting about running. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, like, he'd posted and said, "Hey, where were you at, Brady?"
Yeah, he called me out on it.
Yeah, called him out on it. But he went out for a run. And I know that guy, I know just from talking to him, like, that played into his decision, I'm sure, that night to go for a run.
The fact that Brady wasn't going.
Yeah. Brady went, though. I mean, Brady did go. They didn't go together. But I do remember thinking that, that's probably like a direct reflection of why he went.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can do it for multiple different reasons, but for me, it's just a family needs a little bit of motivation. Here it is. Like, I try to do it every single day, try to get a little sweat, and it's my thing. Kind of enjoy it.
I can tell you that when you guys were doing the 100 miles for conservation, that was like, had so many things going on. It was like the conservation aspect, the running aspect, all that. I was watching that. I was sitting at my house, like, glued to that, being like, I gotta make some changes with my life. Like, look at these two running their butts off, raising money for all of this. I was like, just being an observer of that was like, that was so inspiring.
Yeah.
And I hope I think a lot of people felt the same way, that it's like, you guys just went for it.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, I don't know if we're gonna go further than that. I did look up BCE.
Yeah. What do you got?
Before Common Era.
There you go.
So it's a way before year one, used interchangeably with BC before Christ, but without the Christian reference. So that's just people being more, they don't want to talk about the Christian side of it. So they say BCE.
Yeah. I was reading further on. It says in the Romans, when the Romans moved to the new year in January 1st, resolutions became more symbolic. The month is named for Janus? Is it Janus Patella? But Janus, the two-faced God who looks backward and forward. Romans made vows of good conduct for the year ahead. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. So reflect on the last season, plan on the new one, right?
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that Romans had a two-headed God that looked forward and backward.
Sounds pretty cool.
Sounds dope, doesn't it? But I do think it's like, this is a really good time of year, I feel like. And I do feel like, for whatever the psychology is, and like having a day, it's a great time to like do some self-reflection, look back, what went good or what went bad, and then, you know, move forward and try to make some goals and some resolutions to move forward.
Yeah.
We're going to get in later. I had you guys prepare all your New Year's resolutions, but I did want to talk some stats. So 40% of Americans make resolutions. How many people did you guys, you probably read.
Mm-hmm. I read your
thing. Would you thought it was higher or lower that stuck to them?
I thought it was going to be a little bit lower, maybe. It seemed like it's a crazy, that number.
Yeah, 80% quit by February.
So they barely get a month in.
Barely, yeah. 80%.
I believe that.
I would say it's pretty reflective of like the years I have made resolutions. I would say I haven't always stuck to them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's by February, but it hasn't probably been much longer.
Yeah.
What do they normally say? I forget now. Doesn't it take 21 days of doing something in a row to create a habit?
Mm-hmm.
So you're, even if you do it for a full month, you're probably not hitting that 21 days. So like, you really need to continue it on, and then it's probably going to become easier and easier. Like, mm-hmm. I guarantee it will. That's why it's funny to me that people are quitting all these things before February. Or
why do you think people quit?
Maybe they don't have a good support group. Maybe they just feel like their life is way too busy, and they can't take the time when, you know, time is everything in life. And so they just like cut it out because, I don't know, they just go back to their normal ways and they'll.
It's hard to ask you this question because you don't set a resolution.
Yeah.
So I can't say, Brady, why'd you quit your resolution? Why do you quit? Why do people quit?
I think probably part of it is that you glamorize the resolutions a little bit.
For sure.
And you're like, and then you get 45 days into it and you're like, well, I thought reading every day would bring me more happiness than it actually does. Or I thought that, you know, I would be further along by now or something like that. So I think it's easy to talk yourself out of things. And it, you know, when you make a resolution, it's not like usually to keep doing the things you're doing, right? So it's something super new to you. I also think people are probably just overly ambitious with them.
Yeah.
Generally
yeah,
speaking, like they don't realize that they set a high bar and like it might take them a long time to get there. And if you broke it out into 12 months worth of steps to get to achieve something, I think you would probably have a better success rate if you mm-hmm. If you knew that. But if mm-hmm. your goal is to lose 20 pounds and you get to February and you've lost like a pound and a half, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I think we vastly overestimate the time it takes to actually get to complete a lot of, I think our goals are probably a bit too lofty. And then two, I think we underestimate the time it'll actually take to achieve these goals. And when you don't hit them,
yeah.
in this like short time frame, this like instant gratification era that we all live in, we're yeah. like, mm-hmm. ah, I'm over it.
Yeah, and you can open up your phone and see someone living that life, whatever it is, if it's being good at something, being good looking, being fit, you can open up your phone and see the fittest person on the planet. And so you're like, dang it, it's yeah. easy for them, but I'm not there. And you get down on yourself.
But it's like, I mean, you could say, okay, was it 40% of Americans make resolutions, 80% quit by February. Couldn't you, though?
Yeah, what are the other 60% doing?
I know.
That don't even make
it. Living an amazing life.
Don't we all, though?
As the guy in the gym that you mentioned already.
Yeah, he's already.
That's him.
He's
already ripped. It's Brady.
Brady's already there.
I think hunters, though, we make resolutions all the time, but they're smaller ones. Like you draw a tag. You're going to make a goal, a resolution, per se, to kill a bull elk with your bow. That's then a goal. What might not happen in January, but you can still say it's almost a resolution. You're trying to accomplish something. And then for the next 3 months, you're going to do everything you can to make that a reality. You're going to do all your e-scouting, you're going to do all your research. You're going to shoot your bow all the time. Like, that's a mini resolution per se, right?
Yeah. But what you're saying, I think, is one of the other problems is I think we're far too vague.
Could be,
in our resolutions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're really good at making resolutions, whether they're vague or specific. Like if I said, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds, right? Like that's a specific resolution. And I'll have spent time thinking about like, oh, I'm going to lose these 20 pounds, but I've done almost no planning, mm-hmm. right? So like the execution of it, like how am I going to lose the 20 pounds, right? I've done no planning.
It's so easy to paint your future self as this like, person that makes every decision right, mm-hmm. wakes up on time, goes to bed on time, eats healthy. It's so easy to, that's probably why we do the January 1st or the Monday or some milestone. Mm-hmm. It's because you're like, I mean, I might have like an extra cookie after dinner today, but Monday, definitely not. And it's easy to, it's yeah. so much easier to say that than to yeah, actually do it.
Mm-hmm. For like the fitness side of it though, it is so easy on January 1st just to be able to reset and make new goals because all my fitness stats reset. All my like every year I try to take more steps than I did the year before. I try to run more than the year before. I try to hike more hills than the year before.
Which of those did you hit this year?
All of them.
Every single one?
Every single one for the last like 5 years. Like no joke. I do it every single year and I love seeing it and swiping back over and seeing like, oh, it's a giant increase. Like I do like 150 floors a month or whatever it is. Like it says, I love that it's higher. Every
so you didn't necessarily
year.
Set a goal for I like, I want to do this, but you just want to see that you did more than you did the
yeah,
year before.
Yeah, I always swipe back the year before. I'm like, oh, look at like 2020. I thought I was a beast, but I really wasn't. Look what I am now. Like so way that, higher. It's cool when it resets because now I'm like, okay, now I got a goal from last year. I just got to beat that number. And it's like, it just drives me like, excites me to try to beat it.
That's interesting too, because, and I like, this is a, you know, you look at successful like football teams or something like that. They have a similar mentality where it's always a competition against yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, like you look at Nick Saban or whoever, and he's like, it's not about competing with someone else. It's about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing. You're just competing with yourself mm-hmm. last year,
no.
which is very, I think is actually very interesting. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, it's just your own destiny.
It's fun.
And you also have all the data you would ever want, which I find scary.
Yeah. Love my data.
Here's what's working out for me. And this was like a real shift for me. This was like where the light bulb went off, right? So I was reading about it, why people fail. What I read that kind of just like really sunk in deep is most resolutions are outcome based. Mm-hmm. So like your outcome, I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to kill a bull elk. I want to draw an elk tag, right? Mm-hmm. So those are outcome based. And I was reading through this kind of the psychology of it. Your brain apparently is terrible at sustaining motivation when it's just, there's outcomes I can't control.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. So there's all these things like I can't control. I can't control if I'm going to draw an elk tag. I can't control if an elk is going to come in, you know, bugle into my sweet cow calls at 25 yards.
You can't control the thermals.
Can't control the thermals. There's like all these outcomes that like I can't control. And it's hard to sustain your motivation, right? So the way that I was reading that they suggest you reformat this is that identity-based goals work way better. And this has really been working good for me. So what I read is suggested. So instead of saying, like, I want to lose 20 pounds, repeat this phrase, I'm someone who trains consistently. Like, I am someone who makes good diet decisions. I don't eat cookies. I love cookies.
How many cookies do you have for Christmas?
Before?
No, during Christmas.
Oh, I didn't. I haven't had any since, but before, look out.
Oh.
Look out, Brady. Cookie monster. You got all these neighbors that are just bringing you food all the time. You're like, what am I going to not do? I'm not going to not eat that whole plate of cookies, right?
Yeah. We need to hang out more.
Yeah, you need some better neighbors, it sounds like.
I mean, my mom makes cookies like it's going out of style, and I avoided every single one of them last week when I was with her.
That's good. Felt How do you do it?
I just don't care about sweets.
Well, that's easy. I mean, that seems like a cheat code.
Yeah, that's just like, I just don't like sugar. I tell myself all the time, I don't like sugar. I'm sure I probably do. My body probably thinks it's great.
This is
I tell myself that.
This is your identity. You're going right into what Trail's talking about.
It's an identity thing?
You're someone who doesn't. You behave like someone who doesn't.
Because at first I didn't understand what he was going with this, so I guess it's something I do. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought this was really interesting. So it says behavior sticks when you reinforce who you think you are, not what you want to achieve.
Oh.
So like you build this up in your mind. Like I am somebody who works out every day.
Yeah.
I am somebody who does all the research prior to my application. I'm completely prepared. I know exactly what I want to apply for. I've looked at all my draw odds. I've looked at my points. I know I'm going to draw this elk tag based on, you know, I've done all this thing because I'm somebody that prepares. Like I'm somebody that takes this seriously. So identity-based resolutions for me have been just absolutely kicking ass. Like it's been so good for me just to like, I look at a cookie as I walk by my kitchen this morning and I'm like, I'm somebody that doesn't eat cookies.
Hell yes.
And I literally repeat it. So I got up this morning and I did 4 miles on the treadmill, you know, rucking with my pack on, set the incline, did the whole thing. I set my alarm this morning at 4:45, got up and I was like, I'm tired. Like I didn't sleep great last night. I was like, shit, it'd be really nice to just like click that. But I just kept repeating. I'm somebody that works out every morning.
Mm-hmm. Attaboy.
Hmm. I like this way to approach it.
Is it registering for you?
Yeah, now it is. But at first I was like, I don't understand where this is going, but it's like, okay, you're switching it over. So it's like it's like a good mental trick.
It's a true sign of a great podcaster if you don't know where the conversation is going.
Well done.
Like I got no clue.
I was just waiting for the punchline. You did hit the punchline eventually.
I got no clue what this guy's talking about.
Okay.
So do you think it increases like your willingness to do, because you're clearly trying to either lose weight or get in shape or whatever mm-hmm. the outcome is, right? But does that mindset like increase your willingness to do the things that you need to do every single day?
I think so. And then I think it also reinforces it, right? So it rolls downhill. The snowball gets bigger and it's just, I think it gets to a point where it's habit and you don't question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think rather than saying like, oh, I'm trying to work out, like I'm trying to get in shape. If you skip it, if you're just trying and you skip it, it's harmless, right?
Yep.
Cause you're like, no biggie. But if you're someone who doesn't miss workouts, and I've framed that in my mind, skipping feels like I'm breaking character because like inherently who I think I am. And I think that's like been the big breakthrough for me is like, I'm not a guy that works out every day. There has been times in my life when I have, but I'm not a guy that's ever had a great diet. Right. But if I frame it in my mind that going forward, I am a guy who eats clean. I am a guy. And I start to believe it. Like that's my identity. And that's how I think of myself. I think that's what's going to be the summit, right?
Mm-hmm. So fast forward, let's say you are this guy.
I am that guy.
Well, no, let me, okay, so you are this guy now. Fast forward to, I think one of your resolutions, not to spill the beans on them, is first one is probably going to be antelope buck with a bow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be that guy when that time comes? Like you're going to be in better shape, a better shot, a more keen, aware hunter.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. We'll dive into it. So I did before I did like all the research and I started reading into it and I started thinking about the psychology and the why and framing it differently, I had wrote my resolutions. So then I did all this like searching and research and kind of soul searching. And then I go back and I look at my resolutions and I'm like, I need to adjust these because a lot of them are, they're too vague. Hmm. Like a lot of them have outcomes, they're outcome based. and I need some adjustments. So I need to go in underneath and like make bullet points under each one. Like, how am I actually going to get to this point? And I think a lot of those, I'm not going to shoot 100 perfect arrows a day, right? Like, that's not going to be the resolution. The resolution is going to be like, I am a person who shoots 100 arrows a day, the best arrows that I can. I'm going to shoot good arrows, right? So I think I need to reframe that and like redo my my resolutions. And I guess if anybody's listening, if they want to join in along, go ahead. But
nice.
To me, it's like, I'm as excited about these resolutions as I've been in a really long time.
I can tell you're actually.
Yeah. I'm enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, you really are. I like this new trail.
I think you guys should be too. There were a few other things I thought were really interesting. So one of them was ego.
Who?
Talking about ego.
Yes.
So why most people quit? Ego protection. Here's a wild one, right? So quitting early protects your ego. What do you think?
I could definitely buy that, because if you are trying to improve yourself, like, you have to have a pretty honest conversation with yourself that here's where I'm not happy with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what ego is. It's your image of yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. So you, in certain ways, you might have to strip that down and be like, maybe I'm not the best shot with a bow, even though I trail, you're our bow guy. And you have to strip that down and be like, here's what I'm going to do to be the best shot with a bow. So I totally believe that, because I think a lot of people maybe aren't as honest with themselves as they should be.
I read one thing that like registered, and it said trying hard and failing hurts more than quitting early.
Yeah.
That one like really hit home for me.
Sucks to hear.
Yeah. That sucks to hear. Yeah. Quitting early is pretty easy, right? Like it's easier to on your ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just be like, I gave up on it. It's okay. And I think in regards to a hunting perspective, I think that's really interesting, because how many times do people quit on a hunt earlier, right? Because they're just like, yeah, forget it. It's not working out for me.
Yep.
I can get over that. But trying really hard, hunting to very last light and failing hurts worse than giving up early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me, like the ego play and how this all works too. I'm really into the psychology of it right now. But
yeah, it's like my deer hunt this year.
Quit early, didn't you?
Yeah, right. went to the last, like literally I was counting down the minutes as it was going down, and then it got dark past the legal shooting light, and it was just the worst feeling ever that I've had. I worked so hard at it.
You did. You put a lot into that.
And then, yeah, I just have it happen where, like you said, I've quit on a hunt before. I've talked about it before. I had a Oregon.
And it hurts, huh?
Yeah, I had an Oregon deer tag. And I had like 2.5 days of the season left and came back early. And like thought it was fine at the time. But later on, I was pissed at myself, obviously. I never thought anything of it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go home. Like, this hunt sucks. Hot. Like, temperature is horrible. Deer aren't moving. Why am I even here? And left.
Yeah.
But it's like, this hunt definitely stung a lot more. Like, grinding to the last day after putting all that effort in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a horrible feeling. When you work so hard at something like that, yeah, they can get that mentality.
So yeah, but then over the years, you've built this up to a point where, like, you know that you can stick with it, right? Because it is who you are. Like, I am a person that hunts till last light on the last day, fully realizing that you're probably going to take a hit to your ego because it hurts.
Yeah,
you expect to be successful. So I don't know, that was interesting. The other thing I read here: willpower is a terrible strategy.
Mm-hmm. How so?
I mean, what do you think? Like, define willpower.
Willpower is like just willing your mind into doing something.
Yeah, like you have a goal, you have a resolution, and you're like, I'm just going to do it by sheer willpower.
Eventually, probably just going to break and not do it, right?
Yes, I thought it was interesting. So, willpower is finite; it's unreliable. Strongest in the morning. I'm really guilty of this.
Yeah, me too.
You?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
In what regard?
Fitness, nutrition. Getting chores done, all that morning, I'm way more dialed and way more disciplined, and it just wanes throughout, like especially like after dinner time for me. That's my kryptonite. I'm like, I'm not getting this laundry put away. I'm not gonna eat. Like, I'm gonna have a little extra snack or whatever. I totally believe willpower is like a muscle that kind of resets every after every night. When you wake up in the morning, it's like reset.
This was a big one for me because I totally relate to this one. So it's weaker under stress, hunger, fatigue.
Yep.
Weak and strongest in the morning. I'm the same as you. So my Achilles heel is like I would do fine through like lunch. I might eat like a 5 o'clock dinner, but by like 6 o'clock, I'm like, I'm going to snack on everything in the house. Yes. Like I'm eating it all.
Yep.
To the point where like, I'm just going to be sick and go to bed and not sleep. Right. But like my willpower is completely like all the F's have given up.
Yeah.
It's like, I have none at that point. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was interesting. So willpower is a bad strategy, right? Like you have to have some willpower, obviously, but if you're just going to be like, that's going to be my strategy for meeting my resolutions, bad idea.
Yeah.
So to counteract that, what I was reading is successful resolution makers rely on environmental design. So you're going to design your environment to help meet your objectives. And I think this is where you need to go through your individual resolutions and make a plan, right? So for me, this morning, my alarm clock goes off. I'm like, well, I don't want to get up real bad, but I did lay my shorts and my shoes and my socks and my hoodie out. I do have a dog that's whining that wants to go. Like anything I think you can do to set up your environment to help you do the thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah. Have you, this is a slight sidebar because I just mentioned Nick Saban, but I'm obsessed with, Brady won't know what I'm talking about, but the coach of Indiana football right now, who basically took them from the worst team to the best team.
Big fan.
He's obsessed. I'm obsessed with him. I don't think he's obsessed with me, but maybe. But he says, he has this like famous quote. He says, first you form your habits, then your habits form you. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what we're talking about, right? Is you're like, I'm going to lay my, like if getting my clothes out in the morning is a barrier, let's remove that barrier. And then eventually you're probably going to be so accustomed to it that it's formed you. And that's just who you are now. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what I read, environmental design routine. So you get your routine and eventually becomes habit. And then three, you already brought up accountability. Mm-hmm. That one's one I'm going to struggle with. I don't know exactly how to do that one.
Have you thought about posting on your Instagram every day?
No. Yeah. never crossed my mind even. I don't think it's going to happen, but accountability is interesting. That's like one I'm going to have to try to figure out how to be accountable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weekly check-ins?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that one out. I do realize like as I read through this, I'm kind of buying into it because it seems to be working with a lot of what I've read. I'm like, okay. That's one like it doesn't come naturally, and it's one that I actually don't really want to do because like I don't want to be accountable. I have a hard time being accountable to a lot of different people. Lane knows, he's my boss.
You see the like one of the simplest ones, because I think what we're describing is that you're doing something daily or at a certain number of times a week, right? So like in my opinion, the times I've been most successful, like training for a marathon or something like that, was like I X'd out every single day that I showed up and did what I needed to. Mm-hmm. And you look back at the end of the month and you're like, that's a lot of X's, even though every day I felt almost the same as yesterday, or like my shooting at the range was almost the same as yesterday. Like it's easy to get caught up in like, am I getting better? I think, or do I feel differently? But I do think if you trust what you're doing and you can look back at your progress as just showing up for yourself, like that, to me, that's been like one of the more successful ways of being accountable, is like just mark off that I did it.
I like that.
And I had a physical paper on the back of my door and a marker that I set right there so I'd never lose it. And every day I get done and just it's like,
X it off.
That's my thing, is Xing that thing off.
Probably felt good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of that, seeing all the X's probably feels awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So try it out.
Yeah. I thought this was an interesting quote that I read. It said, most people don't fail at goals. They fail at calling them resolutions instead of systems. So I think that's the thing, is you have to build a system, right?
Yep.
It's not a goal. It's a system. Mm-hmm. It's just, you have to become the thing that you want to become. So you're not going to meet the goal, but you want to become the person and inherently believe it wholeheartedly.
Yep.
So psychology of this, I was kind of reading, it says standards outperform goals. A goal is like, I'm going to work out 3 times a week, whereas the standard is I don't miss scheduled training. So it's just like reframing it. Goal, I'm going to kill a bull. Standard, I scout every unit I draw a tag for. It's like you set it up to meet the goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that too.
I love that.
Should we get into some resolutions? You guys are excited for this?
I'm excited. Lane is. I'm really excited about
Lane,
this.
Lane, do you want to go first?
I can go first. I'm going to, let me scroll down to where I wrote these down.
Do you think there's, before you go, I want to ask, is there a limit? Like, can you set a list too large?
Well, I think it depends on how serious you are.
Like I'm super serious.
If you are super serious, probably depends on how big they are too. Like, feel like I'm going to travel to all these countries and I'm going to, like, you got to be realistic with your time. And like, you have multiple children at home that, you know, require you to be their dad. I don't have that. So like everyone's probably life is a little different in how much time they can commit to things. But I have four.
That's pretty good.
I have four, and three of them are like kind of hunting related. So mm-hmm. I probably won't address those until the fall. And then one's just like a personal thing.
Okay.
So my biggest one for this year, and you'll have to critique like how I wrote this or how I'm phrasing this to see if it's going to be successful or not.
I don't know. You have to self-critique it yourself.
Okay. So I'll just describe this. I realized this year that I don't get the feeling that I used to when I'm out hunting. Mm. I just like, it's not as I like when I was 20, when I was in college and things were kind of new to me mm-hmm. there. I just had so much anticipation and more like adrenaline rush moments. Mm. And I felt like I had more like bond with the people I was out hunting with.
I relate with that.
And so to me, just in the interest of like full blown candor, like I don't enjoy it as much as I used to. I still love to do it, but it used to be this thing that I would like, I'd have my stuff packed a week ahead of time and I'd
live for it.
I would be watching videos of people mm-hmm. going archery elk hunting before. And I would like have everything dialed, my spot dialed. And I, mm-hmm. for some reason, like maybe it's just novelty. That's like good and worn off for me. I still love to go hunting. So the kind of the overarching goal I want to have is like, I just want to restore that feeling where it feels special, more special to be out there.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Trying to get that point.
Well, I think the conclusion I came to this year, maybe at day 8 of our 9-day elk hunt, Brady, where it just progressively got less action. There was progressively less action starting from opening day through. was that like the conclusion I came to is like, if it's all predicated on the successful moment, like you're never really going to have fun. Like most of your days of field are not going to be that fun. It's mm-hmm. like if it's like stressful,
especially if you're mule deer, honey.
Especially if you're just me in general. But I try to like slow down and enjoy where I'm at and enjoy not being at a computer, I have my phone mm-hmm. out, enjoy the people I'm with. Like I guess I've hunted with you, Brady, but hunting in the backcountry is a little different. So I try to slow down and not make it about like, is this tag getting filled? Am I seeing animals? Like not stressing myself out with the time or the cost or the physical part of it. And just be like, I'm out here to enjoy this. And if I get something great, I'm going to mm-hmm. go through the plan I have. I'm going to adjust it as necessary, but I want to just make sure this is enjoyable to me.
Have you gone back and thought what it was about when you started hunting? What made like what factors made that more interesting or exciting to you?
There's a couple. One of them is I just feel like I had more anticipation. Like I hadn't experienced like my first time having a bull come in. Mm. After that, you're like, that's all you can think about. Mm-hmm. Bugling elk, that's all you can think about. And honestly, I haven't really done that much archery elk hunting in the last 4 or 5 years. I've had some early deer tags, had a mountain goat tag. So I just haven't put myself in those situations as much. But the other thing I really kind of the conclusion I came to this year is that I do not have opinions on what other people should do with their shot distances. But for me, I kind of came to this conclusion that shooting animals at long range just doesn't, I'm not trying to get enjoyment out of the shooting part, but it feels very disconnected mm-hmm. and it feels very like hands off on the process. So I took my 25-06 antelope hunting this year and I can't shoot very far with that thing. And I was like, I'm going to force myself to get really close. And I shot this buck at like 70 yards. And that was kind of like, that was a good step for me restoring that. Like
felt different.
I want to mm-hmm. feel, I want this to feel different and I don't want it to feel hands off or disconnected from this process. And there's a, there's kind of a right and a wrong way to say that, you know, it's like, I don't want this to be too, like, I'm not chasing the intimate aspect of killing an animal, but the interaction as a hunter, I've missed that. And so I'm definitely going to try and make it a priority to get closer and have that be part of like what I'm trying to do in a hunt is like, it's, I think it's similar to people who like to call animals, call ducks in, that won't jump shoot ducks that want to call them in or something, is they just want the back and forth aspect as a hunter.
Mm-hmm. As you're talking, I'm thinking like I've hunted a long time and I'm kind of in the same boat. Actually, as you were talking, I was thinking there's like holidays. I feel differently about holidays. Like I don't feel that same like spark, that magic that I used to feel. Same with hunting. As you're talking, I'm thinking about what am I excited about hunting? Well, I'm really excited about the potential of like hunting whitetail. And to me, that's been something that's like really just climbing in my anticipation and my planning and my effort and thinking about it. I've been watching, I was telling you the other day, if I watch hunting content, like I never would have thought this would be the case, but I'm watching probably 90% whitetail hunts, guys hunting whitetail out of a tree stand and planting food plots and all that. That's like definitely regenerated a bunch of new enthusiasm for the process. So I wondered if like maybe just hunting a new area or new species.
I
know that anytime I've hunted a new area, same thing, the scouting that goes into that, going out on the landscape and looking at it differently, different type of area. Like,
yeah, 'cause every day you don't know what you're gonna expect. You're like,
yeah, there's newness in it, right?
Yep.
I listened to a podcast, I may have talked about this, but they were talking about as you get older, time goes faster. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. Have I?
No.
So they did. So I listened to a podcast. I can't, it might've been This American Life, but they did this. They talked to a doctor and said, why is that the case? Right. And it's just like you're saying, they're basically saying that as you get older, there's less newness, there's less new experiences. And there's just like these routines that you're built into your life and you do them day in and day out. And so it's like your mind isn't registering the same way that it was when you were younger.
Yep.
So there's this perception that just like time is shorter, it goes by quicker. So they did this experiment where they had this gal, she went out for, I want to say a month, and she made all these different steps that she was going to do, but she essentially did something new every single day. So she had a new experience. She slept in a different bed in a different location every single day. She ate different types of food every single day, food that she'd never eaten in a lot of cases. And she basically kept a journal and tracked it over the progress of the month. And they came back to her at the end and they said, you know, how did you feel about, you know, your time? Did it feel like time slowed down? Was that restored? And she said, yeah, unequivocally.
Yeah.
Because you're experiencing newness, you're doing new things, you're, you know, eating new foods or seeing new people.
So yeah.
I feel like kind of the same way about hunting.
Yeah.
I'm hijacking your goal, but I just, I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's number one for me is like, I just want to restore the feeling I used to get when I was a little bit younger. Okay. Number two, this is a little more tactical, is I want to have a better situational understanding of animal behavior. So like when Brady and I were out, it was hot and dry and all that, and we were like, I don't know what these elk are doing. They're not standing out in the open. No, they're not doing. And so I do feel like people love to talk about gear, people love to talk about proficiency with a weapon, and I believe that there's a lot, you know, to that. But I think the biggest variable for hunters, I think this might be a question you're asking here later, Trail, is knowing what animals' tendencies are, how often they're getting water, what feeding, all that. And it's not sexy to talk about. It's not fun to like study. That's probably why I haven't done as much of it. But when I look back at hunt after hunt after hunt and think about what I could have done differently to be more successful, it's always like, probably should have had a better plan of what I think these animals are doing and go for that.
It's a hard one to learn. Cause it doesn't register the same if you read it in a book or you watch it on TV, right?
Yeah.
You almost have to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, can you short circuit the process of getting experience by learning it ahead of time? So for example, when we were out, I was thinking to myself, these elk have to be so thirsty. So, I mean, they're getting water from somewhere, but how often are they getting it this time of year? And are they getting it in the daylight or in the dark? What is the moon? So there's all these situational factors where I think if you had stronger knowledge or even stronger theories, like you might be a more successful hunter.
That's what I always say. Google Scholar. Biology, man. Everything's rooted in science.
Yeah.
It's coolest thing, but like you said, it's not sexy. It's like when I'd have these like seminars, things I give, like everyone, like I do it too. I post every single time for the most part when I'm running. It's something you do. Mm-hmm. People go to the gym, they post a gym thing. People shoot their bow, they post it. But how many people are posting when they're e-scouting? Like, oh, I did 13 hours of e-scouting this week. Or I read 4 different biology reports. Like, mm-hmm. you don't do that because it's not sexy. It's not cool.
Yeah.
And I get, no one can ever relate to it. But like, yeah, make it something that's cool. Like making something you're addicted to. Like yep. reading a biology report. Can learn a lot from that.
Yep.
But Hank can be posting it to the gram. Like, oh, look at this.
I don't need to do that.
No, you know, no one ever will. But it's like, that's that one step, I think, because no one does.
Yeah.
Maybe does it a lot because it's just, it is really boring and it's monotonous. And it's like, hey, try to learn something. But
yep.
I think scouting can help a ton. I know if I think back on the hunts that I've been the most successful, I spent a ton of time just watching.
Yep.
Like in the summer. I mean, you know, I've hunted a couple different bucks where I just spent so much time. Mm-hmm. Just watching in the summer. I'm not getting teary. I got a frog in my throat.
Every time.
I might be.
It's like something's going on the last month. Maybe it is your diet thing. Because like you get more hoarse all the time.
Well, I had a cold and I'm not quite over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying to walk. Here's the thing is I'm trying to walk a fine line between having enough water to keep me hydrated that I can talk. Also, I don't have to peel out of here at 1:20 to go take a leak. Yeah. So I'm trying to watch it. I'm trying to nurse this just enough. Yeah. That's a good one. What else you got?
Okay. I already covered my resolution to get close. Like mm-hmm. I just want that to be kind of part of my goals as a hunter is like getting closer. And my last one, this is not hunting related, but I would like at the end of this year to be able to absolutely shred on my guitar.
Is that a real thing? I never knew you played guitar.
Do you play the guitar?
So I did when I was a kid, stopped. Yeah. And I just got one like a month ago and started taking online lessons again.
Really?
Yeah. So here's my thing. Like I think as soon as I started seeing people who are good at it on social media, obviously, like I would just start getting fed more mm-hmm. and more and more of it. The last thing I want to be though is the person that buys a guitar, plays it for 2 weeks and then puts it down and like it sits in your closet forever or do any hobby for that matter. Like I don't mm-hmm. want to just like pick up new hobbies and do them for 2 weeks. So eventually I basically sat on this for like a year and was like, I'm going down. There's a guitar center by my house. Went down. I found the exact same one that I had when I was a kid and I bought it.
How good did that feel?
It was cool. I sent a picture to my dad. I was like, do you remember this? He's like, I do remember that. I was like, well, I just got the same exact one. So, but to make a long story short, it's not as much for me about the guitar, but I feel like I haven't gone through this process of like starting from scratch or mm-hmm. near scratch and getting mm-hmm. good at something again. And I think there's like the ability to learn is as important as what you're learning. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to pick up this guitar. I'm going to start taking lessons. I'm going to start figuring this thing out.
How many times a week do you have lessons?
It's all
online. So you just take it whenever you want.
There's a super, super cool app out there, which brings me to my next point. Like if you can break learning down into these bite-sized chunks, mm-hmm. you can learn anything. Yeah. I'm convinced that you could make an app that teaches someone how to build a house and they could go build a house. So this app I have, it's called Pickup Music, if anyone's curious, but they break this down into such manageable chunks that it's really easy to just keep going because the psychology is like you're doing these 10 minute lessons or whatever, you're hitting complete. It's kind of like turning the page in a book. I just wanted something that I could try and get good at. So shredding the guitar is my goal, but I really actually just wanted to learn something new.
Yeah.
And like pick up a talent. So that's what I'm doing this year.
I really like that. Because that can lead into other things in life too. Like you said, you're trying something new. So this year's that. And then you're going to develop this like playbook for developing, trying something new out. Do it again in something else. Like just keep your mind working, keep your hands and body working. Like,
yeah, it's a creative thing. Yeah. Like it's different to sit down and do that versus sitting down probably in like reading a Google Scholar article or something. That's a little more, especially after a long work day.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting down and learning something is like the last thing I want to do. But when it's more of a creative outlet, that's felt refreshing to me.
So to help you with this, are you going to play us a little tune on our hog hunt? we got coming up?
I could play Happy Birthday if it's anyone's birthday.
Oh. I don't know if it's going to be. We could.
I'm saying you're doing it to serenade the wife on Valentine's coming up.
Oh, we could do that. Yeah.
Or I'm picturing you sitting around a campfire at the end of an elk hunt, and you just got your acoustic, and you're just singing,
playing Wonderwall.
I hope you play Wonderwall. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah. No, I'm trying. I'm going to try and not be the annoying person that plays when nobody asks.
Yeah.
But I genuinely just I envy people with talent.
Sure.
It's just people who are good at anything, whether mm-hmm. it's playing an instrument or building something or developing a hunting app or whatever. I just think it's cool to be good at things, and I just wanted to learn how to be good at things.
I was just thinking how interesting it is that we live in a day and age where that kind of thing has never been more easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's never been harder to actually make yourself do it.
Yeah.
Do something like that. Yeah. Like, it's easier now to learn a skill, learn something new than ever. Mm-hmm. And yet most of us struggle to do it because there's just such good time wasters available.
Yeah.
You got Netflix and YouTube TV and every YouTube and social media. It's so easy to waste time.
It's easy to drop off, right?
For sure.
Like, I have a camera. I feel like I've really flatlined as a photographer for no reason other than I just haven't been doing it as much. Mm-hmm. So I think pick up something and put it in your hands and start committing to being good at it. And like, it's not that hard.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So that's,
I like that one.
That's what's in store for my year. I think those four things, three hunting related.
I was really interested to hear Brady's, but now I don't know if I'm that interested because he sounds like he doesn't make it. He just is.
I'm just really glad I got to hear this shred the guitar one because I read this earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what that is. Is he actually being serious? He's going to shred in a guitar? Is there some like other thing he's going to talk about that's similar to this, but he just put it on here to mess with my mind?
No.
Like, now that I know you're going to shred in a guitar, I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Now I have decisions to make on how I like present that to you guys. Do I just come in one day and start playing when nobody asked, or do I post it on my Instagram or what?
I want him to
play Thunderstruck at the end of year get together next year.
Oh yeah, the roundup could just be a
Lane plays Thunderstruck,
a solo concert by me.
That'd be so great.
Yeah, I like that. So that'd be my milestone: is playing the national anthem at the roundup next year.
Oh, I love it. Brady, hit us.
Okay, you want me to go?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Brady's New Year's resolutions.
Continue not eating sugar.
Yeah, all the normals, yeah. Anti-sugar, gross. This one's always at the top of my list. And some people are like, whatever, it's silly, it's just you, Brady, but kill a mature mule deer.
Mm-hmm.
That just means so much to me. That literally, that one thing in my life means everything. And I want it to happen this year badly. I'm doing whatever I can to do it. I just, so this last week, I read a lot, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Just in this one week when I was like over in Minnesota, I'm starting to reread a bunch of my mule deer books. I'm going to reread every single one this year. So it's not like a goal. I'm not adding that to a goal, but overall, my goal is to kill a big mule deer. So I'm just reading everything again. So last week, I read David Long's Public Land Muley is the Bottom Line. Just reread the whole thing.
Nice.
Like, read in 1 week. I'm like, I can read whatever that book is, 275 pages, 300 pages. I don't know what it is, but I read it in a whole week. So it's like, okay, there's 1 week, that book. I have every other Mueller book that has been published to date. Literally have them all. I'm just going to read all of those. I'm going to read whatever I can read in biology reports again. Like, just keep doing more of that to whatever I need to do to finally get back to killing a mature mule deer. And obviously time is very limited to me as well. I don't get like, you know, I can't go out scout for 4 weeks of the year, like all that stuff. Like, sure, I did a lot this year, but that's because I could drive to it and burn a lot of weekends. But do whatever I can do to really kill a giant mule deer.
So after we've talked today, if that's your resolution, are you going to go back and like bullet point underneath these individual things?
Like, that's how I can accomplish that goal? Because I guess too broad right now. Yeah. Like, what is a mature mule deer? Is it?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
How many years removed from your last one are you?
Quite a few, honestly.
Yeah.
So this 2025 was the first year in a while that I did not kill a mule deer. I didn't kill a single antlered animal in 2025. Just horned animals.
That's weird.
Mountain goat.
I hadn't thought about that.
Mountain goat, tar. Three tar. And then I killed a tusked animal, a wild boar.
Yeah.
I think that's all I killed. Sorry if there's an animal out there I didn't mention that.
You're jonesing for some antlers, though.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, really badly. 2024, I just killed the one in Mexico, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a rough go for a while, and I eat a lot of tags. Like, I force myself to eat tags because I have just a goal.
How's it going?
And I really want to kill a big mule deer, do whatever I can to try to do it, whether it's one tag, whether I do it multiple states. I don't know yet. That's why I need to break that goal down a little bit further after listening to this whole thing. But wherever I can, I don't. If I only have one hunt this year and it's a mule deer hunt, I'm going to make the most of it and try to kill a big buck.
Mm-hmm.
I just want that. One. I want that for myself.
I like that.
Yeah, like a true, true big deer, though, if I'm thinking back, it's 2018 was the last year I killed a what I would consider a giant deer. The last one with Neville.
Been a minute.
Been a hot minute. Yeah. Been a lot. I've done a lot of crazy stuff in the meantime. Sure. But like, yes, this one means a lot to me.
Yep. I love that.
The second one on there, I don't even know if this is a lofty goal or if this is too easy of a goal. I've never done a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my life. I run all the time. I'm doing a marathon March, was it March 28th?
Why don't you just do it tomorrow?
Do it tomorrow? Just go rip one out? Okay.
Yeah.
Just try it?
Yeah.
Just random.
January 1st.
Just January rip 1st. It. A marathon a day.
Just rip it.
Yeah. So I put on there a 3:30 marathon, which is what, an 8-minute pace.
That's pretty good.
I think I can do that, but I want to set a goal that I continue to work towards. And that's why I have this whole training plan right now. I'm just trying to, like, I think I have, I don't know, 90 some days.
Have Omar pace you. Just say, hey, you're going to have to sacrifice this one.
Get the pace.
run a little slower, but just keep me on your hip.
Yeah. So I think I can do that. And I think it's a lofty goal too, because I'll be 40
mm-hmm.
if you're coming up. So it's like run a 3:30 pace. Not only people, most people I think average over four, it's like 4:30 or something like that is an average marathon pace, which is kind of skewed because a lot of people do marathons nowadays. That's 8-minute pace for 26.2 miles and try it. Give it a rip.
That's a good one.
That's a good goal.
When are you registered for a marathon?
March 28th, okay. I believe it is. So I go to Australia right beforehand. So it's not going to be really good on my marathon training plan, but I'm going to try to run one in Australia and then get back. And then I have a week of the rest of my taper. So my peak period is actually when I'm in Australia. Not ideal.
Do you have a plan you're working on?
Yeah.
So you have is it an app?
Yeah, it's throughout Garmin.
Man, apps for everything.
Yeah, apps. Like literally every day. Like every day I wake up, I look at my marathon prep and I go and just crush it.
And so really, you know how many miles a day you have to run every day?
Yeah, exactly.
Pace and everything?
Yeah, the cool thing about, I mean, there's a billion of them.
Yeah.
But like the Garmin's, what's really cool about that is while I'm running and listening to, I started listening to more audiobooks too, so that's been really fun. But I listen to audiobooks when I'm running. And if I go too fast or too slow, it alerts me in my earbuds like, hey, speed's too fast, slow down, because I'm supposed to do this exact thing. And I like running fast all the time, but I know it's not always best. So it's really cool. It'll tell me to go faster, slower. Then it'll tell me, okay, this is this next stage coming up is whatever it's going to be.
Does it get annoying? It's like, hey, speed up. No, slow down.
It kind of does. But then you realize like how there, I need to optimize my training, though, mm-hmm. rather than saying like, oh, you know, tomorrow I have to go run for an hour and a half and mm-hmm. try to do, you know, 12 miles. Like, okay, I can do that. But it's like when I do these like tempo workouts, it's really nice to know, like, okay, what's coming up next? I need to keep in this pace range because of this. And then like, it's just really easy to follow it.
So are you having to get yourself pumped up every day for this? Or are you at the discipline phase where you're like, this is just part of my life and I'm doing this?
It's part of my life and I'm just doing it. Yeah, it's pretty easy just to go and go. And
well done.
The hard part though is that's why I switched over and started running in the morning rather than the evening, because girlfriend wanted to do things in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to try to do things where I can maximize my life at home,
mm-hmm.
plus my goals that I have here, plus all the other stuff I want to do as well. Like shoot my rifle. What's the best time to shoot my rifle in the morning here in Vegas? Cause it gets really windy. So like, how do I shoot rifles all the time and still continue running and try to do this goal? I thought might as well just throw some thumb number out there.
You just have your girlfriend drive the car and you just run behind it.
Run behind it.
Yes. Your motivation.
Yes.
Have you communicated the goals to her?
No.
Oh.
All she says, I hope you don't get addicted to marathons.
Oh.
She's like, I don't want to be that significant other to just follows you around at races.
There's a lot of people that make jokes online about, like, at a certain point, if you're an adult without kids, it's either marathons, like war history. Like smoking meat.
Yeah.
Or like smoking meat. Like you have like, as a guy, you have like a couple of like predetermined
mm-hmm.
hobby paths, and marathon is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Fleece is a good one.
It's super good.
Yeah.
And I think it's literally the best thing for hunting. What does Trail always say? Legs and lungs. Mm-hmm. That's what kills.
When I've like really committed to running like before the season, I've never felt stronger. Like, you mm-hmm. just feel stronger carrying stuff uphill when you've done a lot of running.
One thing I noticed this year, not running as much as I have in years past, is I just felt cumbersome. Like, as I was trying to navigate the landscape, like, I didn't feel light and agile and nimble and be able to like move the way I wanted to. I just felt sluggish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a good feeling to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like in a stalk and you're like, oh, I got to definitely make these next few steps. I got to have good balance. And you're just like kicking every rock and falling over through trees. You're just like a big Shrek walking around through the woods.
Yeah.
Not great.
Okay. So marathon.
Okay. That's a good one.
Got to go. Got a time. The next one's kind of hard to do. I'm trying to do the marathon. We're trying to do it at the same time. So last time I weighed over 200 pounds. So obviously I'm under 200 pounds. I weigh like 183 right now. I haven't been 200 pounds since I left Montana like 13 years ago when I was actually lifting all the time and actually jacked.
We need to find those pictures.
I know. They were pretty good. That one film, Elements, you can kind of still see some of the jackness on it. But now I've lost it all.
Okay.
So I want to gain muscle and weigh over 200 pounds again.
This is a hard one to do when you're trying to run a marathon.
Yeah.
Because those are working opposite of the spectrum. Opposite
of each other.
So if you're having the, you're becoming the character or however you phrase it earlier, Trail, it's pretty simple. It's, I am hybrid athlete.
I'm a hybrid athlete.
Brady's a hybrid athlete.
Yeah.
Engineered to kill a mule deer.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good one.
So yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to deal with that. And the great thing about this part is I've actually started lifting a lot more with my girlfriend this last year. My goal this week is to actually clean out my garage because I have a big weight stack in there that I bought quite a few years ago. And then right now my antlers are really like just sitting, I have a giant antler pile right in the middle. So if you go to a squat, you're going to, hurt yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I have the Tough Sheep event coming up. Mm-hmm. So I've been like, okay, I got to start stepping up. I got literally 3 weeks until a sheep show when I have to go embarrass myself and do a big giant workout and complete the workout. So I win a sheep hunt.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that internally. That was one where I was just like, "Oh, I'm not doing that. I don't want to like throw up in front of everybody."
I can't remember where Brady was. Somewhere without service. Oh, you were in
Was I mountain goat hunting?
Yeah, you were mountain goat hunting.
Yeah.
And the opportunity came up, and I thought, "Oh, that sounds like a great one for Brady." Yeah. So I took the liberty of signing up for it.
Mm-hmm. So I got that.
Hey, if you win the sheep tag, it will be a favor that I've done you.
Yeah, thank you.
Until then, it's not.
Yep, so that's going to help, too, because the next 3 weeks I'm starting to do that hybrid athlete thing and run and then...
Quotations.
Yeah, quotations. So stupid. You're the mule deer hunter. You're not the hybrid athlete. So yeah. I am. I just want to be above 200 pounds because, like, I'm 6'5", and I weigh nothing. And after every hunting season, I drop down into the 170s, which is probably not healthy. I mean, sure, maybe if I'm just doing a runner, but I'm not. I'm trying to backpack hunt and do all this other stuff in my life. So I think it's a good goal to be over 200 and not just like fat 200.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to be over 200, I can teach you.
Yeah.
It's super easy.
Yeah. How about over 200 and what did you always say? Like with minimal notice, you could go dunk a basketball in the warehouse?
Yeah, go dunk a basketball.
Like it's got to have, the weight has to have, I guess you got the 330 marathon qualifier, but how long are you going to hang on to that one for? The dunking a basketball thing?
I did dunk in... on my mountain goat hunt.
You did?
Well, yeah. In Crocs. In Crocs. You have it on video.
That probably wasn't a regulation rim.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably higher than. Most places you go to are actually a little higher, especially in a rec center. a rec center up there.
That was a 9-footer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably, I don't know if I can let go of that one, but as long as, I got legs and lungs, I'll try it.
Okay. What else you got?
This last one's very interesting. So I pulled up my... book. I mentioned before, I've been trying to write a mule deer book for quite a while. Don't know if I'll ever publish it, but it's been a goal of mine. I just like writing down all the thoughts I have, strategies about, mule deer hunting and that sort of thing. And so I started writing a mule deer book quite a few years ago. And I just put a goal actually write in my mule deer book. And I need to then fine tune this a little bit further because I can do it.
Yeah,
I can go today and write a paragraph and like technically that would check it off. But I need to like,
you're going to be like, I am someone who sits down on Thursday night at 9 p.m. and I write for an hour.
Yeah, I just write for an hour. So I looked it up here. Here's my book right now. The last time I wrote in my book, I wrote 176 words, and that was June of 2022.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been a hot minute.
Sure.
been a hot minute. And in total, here, let's click this back over. Project statistics. So right now my book is 79,228 words. It is. Do you know this?
I think I remember him talking about this before, but it's been a second since I've
yeah. So
I didn't know you were writing a book.
Yeah, it's been always my goal to write a mule deer book and just like, I don't know, A to Z about how to hunt mule deer type of thing. There's no working title yet at all, but just like
that's the title.
How I do gear, how I steep and deep, all the crazy stuff I do, like my approach to biology, like just general hunting information that'll help people out whether you want to kill a buck or the best buck of your life type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, 79,000 words, and that's 203 pages right now of a paperback book.
Probably. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that I'm like a long ways through, but I want it to be like the mule deer Bible. And these last couple of years, I'm not killing a deer. It's not really helping me because I'm like, well, why would anyone want to listen to a guy who doesn't kill deer on a regular basis? Well,
you're still learning. It's not like you're getting worse at it.
Yeah. But that's why I feel in my head. I need to like get rid of that, being like, I don't have to just kill all the time.
I think that would be very cool for you to write a book.
Yeah. If no one buys it, I don't care. I just want to like, that's my one contribution I want to give to people in my life before I die. I want to have a book published.
I love that.
And I want it to be paperback.
Like, you're 80,000 words into it already?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. So I started here. Let me see when we started. Since we're talking about my book and talking about how I've failed.
When I read this goal you're writing down, I thought you meant like taking notes and like dog earing pages in other books.
Nope. So I started my book December 26th of 2018. And then the last time I wrote in it was, like I said, June of 2022. So June 15th, exactly.
So you started it 9 years ago.
Yeah, 2018, is that 9 years ago?
Oh, no. Sorry, I was thinking you said 2016.
Seven.
7 years ago.
Almost 6 years, yeah.
Wow. That's,
I don't know. I just want to start chipping away at that again.
That'll be, I hope you do it.
Yeah.
Like, you should do it.
I think it'd be fun. It's a fun project.
Then you can do a book tour and sign, like sit at the table and sign people. And
do you have a goal for when you'd like to finish it?
Honestly, no. That's what I've always said. I don't have a goal.
See, I think that might be interesting. Is like set a date.
It probably would make it a lot easier.
By then, I will finish this book.
Yeah. But like while I was talking about this before, you've also heard me talk about like I have a goal. Like I really want to kill a mule deer in every Western state. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I want to publish this book after I've accomplished that, or if I ever do accomplish that. That's a lofty goal as well, and I have to give up some other hunting opportunities to do that. Like, I'm not going to make a priority to go, shoot a deer in Oklahoma or Texas or something like that. But eventually, I have to. So that's why I want. That's why I want more experiences under my belt, constantly more and more and more mule deer hunting, so I actually can talk about things I don't know about currently, like mm-hmm. hunting deer in different environments, like
desert versus high alpine. Start clipping them off and then put a date to it.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I love that one.
Write a book.
Yeah, so that was my. Yeah, I did four. Yeah,
I'm gonna run through mine quick because I realize you guys did four and I did like 50.
Trail's gonna reinvent himself. Just watch.
He is. Yeah.
Actually, the reason I asked you was like, how many do you think is too many? Because like I keep adding to it, and some of them I think I can get to fairly quickly. Like I was thinking on the way down, so I'll just do these off the top. So one of my resolutions is to get to the eye doctor this year and get my eyes figured out because my vision's not that great, and I keep putting it off. So that's like one goal I'm going to clip off. The other one on that same front, I haven't been to the doctor in God knows how long. It's been a really long time. Like just to get my blood work done to see how things are. So that's another goal. So those are two. Just like. I should be able to, actually I say I should be able to, but that seems way harder than it actually mm-hmm. should be mm-hmm. like to me anyway. So
see, like you said, by my book, you just got to schedule it.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I had an eye appointment scheduled and I canceled this.
It's funny you talk about this. Not to delay all this, but literally I was talking about last week with my girlfriend. It's like, yeah, you have to go to the doctor again. Cause last time I've been, it was 2022 before I went to Tajikistan. Like yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, me so. Either.
I am someone who doesn't miss eye appointments.
Really?
No, that's your. That's
oh, yeah, treatment. That's it. Yeah. I thought you were saying you were. I was like,
No, I got LASIK. I'm done with eye appointments.
So then the kind of some of the other ones, a lot of killing on my list.
Oh, yeah.
kill a bull elk with my bow, kill a buck antelope with my bow, kill a mule deer buck with my bow, kill a whitetail buck with my bow. So I want to do a lot of bow hunting this year. Mm-hmm. Different species. I'm obviously really excited. I've already mentioned about whitetail. So that's something I want to do for sure. I did not have a deer tag this year, which I didn't think would bum me out that much, but actually it did. Mm-hmm. Like it it didn't sit right. I like mule deer hunting. So mm-hmm. those are four. And then kind of to go along with those, this is kind of something that's been eating at me. I want to shoot four perfect arrows on the previously mentioned goals. So I want clean kills
yep.
in 2026. You know, I talked about my hunt in Arizona. I ended up shooting that bull more times than I wanted. And we've talked about it in the past. You just feel differently about a clean, quick kill where the arrow breaks perfectly and yep. hits right behind the pin versus, you know, having to trail an animal and then maybe put a second arrow in him. It's just not ideal. So I want to shoot four perfect arrows on yep. four animals. Run or ruck 5 days a week. I want to do some strength training 3 days a week. My oldest kid had a bit of an intervention with me like a week ago. He's like, he works at the gym now in Cedar. Mm. And he was like, oh, you know what dad needs is a gym membership. So I guess I have a gym membership. He hasn't convinced me yet to go, but I'm slowly creeping in.
Okay.
So I'm going to, I told him, I'm like, you have to go and take me, run me through it. I don't know shit about weights. I haven't lifted weights since I was 16. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some sore days in my future.
Okay. Which I like is T-Rex arms coming up where yep. you can't move after yeah, doing T-Rex. Bicep curls.
You know what's really funny is I saw my parents 2 weeks ago and I was telling my mom, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of heavy. I'm like heavier than I have been. And she's like, no, you're skinny. And she's like, I saw a video the other day on the podcast. She's like, your arms are tiny. I was like, I think that's the exact opposite of what I'm hoping to do. But yeah, funny story. So do some strength training. I want to shoot a 300 Vegas game. So last year I got to do some indoor. I shot Vegas, didn't shoot well at all. I shot some decent games at home. I don't care if I shoot a 300 game at home. I don't care if I shoot it in a competition. I just want to do the damn thing. Like mm-hmm. it's incredibly hard to shoot it for me anyway, mm-hmm. a 300 game. So that's like something I really want to do. I wanted to do it in 2025. I didn't get there. I still got a couple of days. Maybe I can rein yeah. one in.
Get new arrows, I heard.
Yeah, new arrows. Yeah. But so that's one thing I want to do. I want to read a minimum of 6 books. I usually get 2 or 3 read every year on an antelope hunt. I didn't get any read this year, which is a bummer. But it's like that goal for me is like not even, it's not like I want to learn anything. I just like the way I feel when I kick back and read a
yep,
book.
Me too.
I just like the way it feels. I yep. feel good.
Yep. Put your phone down.
Yeah, put mm-hmm. my phone down. Focus on something. Yep. Kick yeah. everything else out. Yep. Free the mind. Just read a book.
Yep.
Can I give you 3 book suggestions?
Well, I was going to say I'd read your book, but you don't have it done yet.
I know. Maybe you should proofread it. Maybe like, you should just stop and write an elk book, Brady. Like, this is horrible.
Well, then I'd read it.
Okay. That, but I saw your goal.
Bullshit. He doesn't know.
I saw you wrote that down, 6 books, and mm-hmm. I was like, I have 3 books that you can read. I'm not gonna let you borrow these 3 books because the last time I let you borrow,
I got that bag.
No, you didn't. You still haven't really bought
them. No, I gave it back.
No, you didn't.
Damn it.
You haven't returned it. Okay. So here's my 3 book suggestions, which will help, I think, with all your other goals as well.
Okay.
That's why I picked these 3. Okay. I really like these 3 books.
I want to hear.
The one I just read and I thought it was good. So the 3rd one, I just threw on there. But the 1st one, With Winning in Mind by Lanny Basham.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to read that one. That'll make you better maybe
shoot 3 hundos.
Mind Gym by Gary Mack.
Okay.
And then Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson.
Love that one. I'm going to read that one first.
Okay. Read those 3 books, Trail, and I guarantee you will crush all your resolutions this year.
Okay. You just slack those to me.
Yeah.
I'll buy them today.
Does audiobooks count or are you sitting down looking at the words?
Yeah.
That's what you have to read. That's why that 3rd one, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, I listened to that one on audiobook and I cruised through it in like 2 days of running.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I need to sit down and actually read it through paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've learned a lot more.
Like I said, part of this goal for me is just, I like the way that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
When I read a paperback book, mm-hmm. I just open that thing up, sit in the sun or wherever it might be, or lay in bed and read it. Like, I just like that feeling. I think it's good for me. So that's mm-hmm. part of the reason I want to do it above and beyond what I would learn, which, mm-hmm. which is obviously a benefit. So next one, this one I debated. I'm like, this is unhinged a little bit, but so spend a minimum of 1 uninterrupted hour per week with each of my kids.
Love this one.
Dude, when I put down an hour, I was like, man, I feel guilty. An hour is not much. But I'm trying to be realistic. And if I think about my kids' schedule and my schedule and everything that's going on in life, like an hour feels pretty significant, to be honest. And that's, it might be a little bit embarrassing to say, but I know that over Christmas break, I've been sitting down and playing cards with my middle kid, and we'll play for like an hour and we just shoot the ball and play cards. And, I just have come to this realization, like, I just don't spend enough time like one-on-one, just like getting to know him. Mm-hmm. So this is a good goal for me for the year.
And I like that one. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's probably unspeakably good for the kid too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like dad's goal, but that mm-hmm. kid's going to learn so much about you and all that.
I mean, I think every parent feels, you know, whether, you know, your father or your mother or, you know, my kids, it's like you live with these people day in and day out. But like, I don't feel like I know them as well as I would like to. And I certainly don't know my dad as well as like I would like to. And I think it's just the nature maybe of like that existence, but like, I just want to be more intentional with like getting to know my kids mm-hmm. and kind of like remove the barriers, you know, everything's cool. It's on the table. We can talk about whatever you want, you know, and let's just do that and spend some time together and get to know each other better. So that was one of my goals.
I like it.
This one, do a kind act for a stranger, a minimum of one time a week. And again, it's just like one time a week. Come on. But I feel like I just want to look for opportunities. And I think just being mindful of an opportunity, like looking for it and then doing it, maybe it'll increase. The reason I kind of thought of this one was like my wife and my sister-in-law, they did just kind of a random act for a woman that was kind of struggling, having a hard time. And we did it over Christmas and I didn't have shit to do with it. I had nothing to do with it other than I went along with. And leaving, I was like, that felt amazing. And I didn't do anything. You know what I mean? It wasn't even my idea. I literally did nothing, but just the excitement in the vehicle. My kids went with us. And it was just like this level of excitement. I just felt good when I got home and I was like, I could do this anytime I wanted. I could do this every week. So I want to make that a goal. Just again, it's partly I want to help somebody, but it's also selfish and that I just like the way it felt.
Yeah. I like that. The world needs more of that.
Yeah. And then last one. So consume less outrage. Man, the comments. And I don't read a lot of comments. I'm pretty good, I think. But every now and then you're bored and you jump on social media and you start scrolling and it's just outrage, constant outrage. We talked earlier, you know, I get up in the morning and make breakfast for my kids and I watch the news and it's just all outrage. It's all just negativity. And whether I try to say that I don't care, and generally I don't, but every once in a while you read something and it just gets in your brain and it's there for the rest of the day and it just ruins your whole day.
Yep.
So stop reading the comments on our reels.
In YouTube videos? Yeah, I mean, the last one, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, the funny thing about that one was it's just like, this is just a snapshot in time. You ask me a question and I answer the question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get outraged talking about it. But that's how I feel. And I just feel like you can feel however you want. I don't understand people's need to jump in and like reply with a negative comment, mm-hmm. maybe even a positive comment, to be honest. Like, I don't necessarily understand the psychology between either. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never thought one thing about anybody that did something differently than I did. I'm not on their page, like commenting, that's bullshit. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not, so I don't understand it, but, yeah, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Right. And generally I don't read them, but I want to do less not reading them in 2026.
Yeah. Well, and we've never, I mean, until the advent of this social media and everything, like just speed running people's opinions has never been part of human psychology. Never. Like nobody was prepared for that. Right. And mm-mm. So there's probably something to be, I think there's a lot to be said for what you're saying, Trail, that it's never been a thing in human history until recently. And it doesn't have to be a thing because we're probably not even mentally prepared for it.
Yeah.
And when you just hit the side button on your phone, all those opinions go away. Mm-hmm. Yep. and you're just living your normal life anyway.
Yeah.
So I like that resolution a lot.
Yeah. I mean, reality is it's not going away, but the difference is I have the choice.
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. I have the decision, consume it or not consume it. Not consuming it is clearly the better option mm-hmm. for me mentally. So that's going to be one of my goals. And again, all these I need to go back through after everything else that I've learned and kind of make bullet points underneath them and figure out how to make a plan for them on how I'm actually going to do them. But overall, this is a really good exercise. So mm-hmm. I don't, if you guys are listening and you liked it, great. If not, great because I got a lot out of it.
I mean, I think everyone can gain by listening to this and going through some of these same little thought processes with themselves. Like, just think about it. Think about things differently. Think about what you want to accomplish next year. How are you going to accomplish it? So how are you going to have a better life?
Yeah.
Overall. Like,
I think it's really easy to get sucked into just like, this is my life. This is the way it is. If things aren't going the right way and you just don't like your mental state, you don't like your physical state, maybe you just don't like the direction. You just get stuck in a rut, right? And I've felt like I've been stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of occurring to me. And I think it's going to get better, obviously, as you go. I think you build a system, like it's saying, but I just had a bit of a realization. It was like, this is all controllable. This is all just willpower.
Discipline.
Yeah, just discipline. It's just discipline.
So are these goals, mine aren't. So my question to you guys is, are yours written down anywhere but this shared doc between the three of us?
Nope.
Not yet. Mine are as well.
Not yet.
We should put them right there.
We should write them down on paper and make sure that they come true.
I'm game.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm on it.
Yeah.
Is there any goals you think like every hunter should have? Like, we're a hunting podcast. I know we've talked a lot about things that aren't hunting per se, but I think they all, they'll go into you, making you a more successful hunter. But is there any goal that you think every hunter should have?
I think the easy one always to me is every hunter should learn more. I don't care. That's a broad statement. Learn more about anything related to hunting. Knowledge is power. Whether it's, like you said earlier, learning more about animal behavior, whether it's learning more about how your weapon system works or learning more how to make a better shot, how to stay mentally strong, just learning about hunting stuff, whether it's e-scouting or the application game, just knowledge is power. I think if you just pick up something and just read and learn and listen to podcasts like this, other podcasts, wherever it may be, just constantly be a sponge and soak up every bit of information you can.
Maybe to follow that up, do you think that there's goals or do you think that there's things that most hunters work at that it probably aren't as important as maybe they make them out to be?
I have one. I think we are inherently a gear company, so I might get flack for saying this, but like there's so much discussion about gear that probably won't change the outcomes of your hunt. Like, you need to have good gear. Don't get me wrong. And then I just can't believe that how much I still see about picking the perfect caliber of weapon.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
I cannot believe, I mean, like, and there's probably math to say, this is better than this. There definitely is. But I think baseline proficiency with your weapon is important. Mm-hmm. Having good gear is important. And after that, I could probably be hunting with the gear I had 10 years ago and have the same amount of success. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, I think people need to put those two like mental exercises to bed and get in better shape and learn more about animals and do the things that like really are going to take them to the next level and quit asking about whether my 30-06 can kill an elk or not.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I very firmly believe that. Yeah.
That's a solid answer. I like that one. Yeah, and I agree. I would try to add on to it, but I got nothing. I think I'm right with you. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, B-Mills?
No.
Okay.
I think that's it. We just got to be accountable trail, write these down.
Yeah, man. I'm optimistic.
Okay.
About 2026. So I hope that people listening are as well. And if you're not, I mean, I'm living proof. You get to choose whether you want to be pessimistic or optimistic about it and then do something about it. So I would say, choose optimism and go for it.
Yep. I love it. 2026, okay. Big year.
Let's go.
Baby New Year. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.